Heavenly Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ confessing our sins. Father, I humble myself as you go into your word. Father, I ask for help. I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my knowledge or preparation. I place all of my confidence in your mercy, in the grace of our Lord Jesus. Help me to increase in honesty and humility. As I duck under covering, Lord Jesus, let, Lord God, your word go forth today in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble and minds further enlightened by revelation of the word that comes forth, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. But as word goes forth, let it bring healings in our life. Let it break yokes, causing us to become conformed to the image of our Lord. Just help me to redeem it. I'm not to say things that are unnecessary. We pray thy kingdom come, that we will receive mercy, Lord, to be faithful in the ministry of word this evening. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is Possessing the Present Land. Let's say together, Possessing the Present Land. This year has been declared by parents, as you know, the Watch Night Service, that it is a year of breaking through the veil of the flesh. Let's get the year of breaking through the veil of the flesh. And mommy also came to compliment what Pastor shared on that, that it is a year of pleasantness and pleasant what? Surprises. Tell your neighbor you are in for a surprise this year. Praise the Lord. You see, you begin to understand. When he shared the word and I began to meditate, God brought this word to me about possessing the present land. So we'll see as we continue. Praise the Lord. You see, what is this? What is it all about breaking through the veil of the flesh? Pastor spoke about it, and then mommy also expatiated on it. And mommy, I remember, said that, look, in quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, she said that we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power might be of God. Let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, as I begin to lay the foundation for what I'll be sharing today. Praise the Lord. Are we there? What does it say? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. We're going to go from 17 to 20. Praise the Lord. Let's read together. Wherein, God willing, more abundantly, brethren, please unmute yourselves. Unmute yourselves. Let's read together. Praise the Lord. Wherein, God willing, more abundantly show unto the heirs of what? Promise the what? The immutability of his counsel. He did what? He confirmed it by an oath. Next verse. That by what? Two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Say, God can never lie. Praise the Lord. We do have that at the back of our mind. We might have what? A strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Next verse. Which hope we have what? As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Next verse. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have mommy quoted for from verses 7 to 11. I'm trying to bring to remembrance what was shared that day and link them together. Let's look at it. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Next verse. Say, we are troubled. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but what? We are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Next verse. Always what? Bearing. Say, bearing in this body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That what? The life. Say, the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest in our body. Next verse. Repeat the same thing again in verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto them for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest in our mortal flesh. Repeat the same thing. But a matter of two or three, let every word be established. So if you link those two scriptures, Hebrews says that we have fled for refuge. I mean, it's Satan that's supposed to flee from us. He's fleeing from us. But this scripture says, we Christians, born again, we are falling after apostles. We have fled for refuge. Why? Because this is the time to flee for refuge, to lay hold upon what? The hope that is set before us. So that hope is the anchor for our soul that is sure and steadfast, and it enters within the veil. That is, it goes beyond the outer court. It goes beyond the holy place. It enters within the way. Whither the foreigner for us is entered. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. It talks about Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about veil now. He said that he has consecrated, he said, by a new and living way. When he has consecrated, a new and living way for us. That is speaking about, let me just read it. He said, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So when we're talking about breaking through the veil of the flesh, or we are talking about allowing the treasures within us to manifest, that is this hidden treasures that are hid in Christ Jesus. We are talking about the same thing. Praise the Lord. So, and the Bible says that this thing enters within the veil. So, what are we saying? So, when God gave me this message, I was meditating, said, God may give me, I will use Old Testament types and shadows to explain what I'm trying to say about possessing the land. What is the land we are supposed to possess? I already read that, so you can understand better as I use types and shadows to explain. The present land in the Old Testament was the land of Canaan that God promised the children of Israel. The Bible talks about the church in the wilderness. So we can glean examples and learn from those things, those types and shadows of what they did, why some entered and why some did not enter. But we are going to enter in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So that is the land. He called it the land that flows with what? Milk and honey. That is the land of pleasant surprises. Are you following me? Let us open our Bible to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, brief and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Let's together. Say, for the Lord thy God, brethren, unmute yourselves. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into what? A good land. That's a pleasant land. A land of brooks and of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Next verse. A land of what? Wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive and honey. Verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. That is the land that we are supposed to inherit. But see, in types and shadows, in the New Testament, it means it's talking about the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, where we inherit the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 11 also says the same thing. Let's just look at it to give a basis for what we're talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. Moses was telling them. He said, for the land, let's look at, for the land whither thou goest in to possess, it is what? It is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou swearest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. Next verse. But the land whither thou goest to possess it is a land of what? Hills and of valleys that drinketh water of the rain of what? Of heaven. Verse 12. Praise the Lord. A land which Lord thy God careth for. Say, a land which Lord careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So this is a land that God wants us to inherit, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a scripture to buttress this so you can understand. So we are not in the New Testament. We are not inheriting as it were. Literally, that is part of it. We are going to inherit those things. But you see, it's not literally that. It's talking about inheriting the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, where we inherit the glory of God and we manifest that same glory to this generation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul makes it very clear. Say, whereunto he called you by your what? By our gospel to the what? Obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other scriptures I could quote, but this makes it very clear. The reason for preaching the gospel is that we might inherit the same glory, nothing less, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Master himself says something in the book of John chapter 14, verse 12. He says that, very, verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do, and what? Greater. And until we do that, God will not be satisfied with this present day church. So that is our inheritance. That is the land of pleasant surprises that we are expecting in this 2021, in which we break through the veil of the flesh. That is what that means is this. The flesh is the hindrance to breaking through or to manifesting these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. No, Paul says something. Paul says something. He said that, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. So that after I preach unto others, I myself not be cast away. What are we talking about? It is this veil. When Bible talks about the veil, it's not talking about the physical flesh. There's nothing really bad in this flesh. But the problem of the flesh is the sin nature, the residual sin nature that we have in our soul and in our physical body. We've been taught very well. When we got born again, God removed the sin nature from our spirits. But we still have the residual sin nature in our souls and in our bodies. That's why the Bible says, in your patience possess ye your soul. So that is the land we need to possess in this season. Praise the Lord. So, but as I meditated, the Bible opened our Bible book of Psalm 106, verse 24. That's where I got the message from. That I said, possessing the pleasant land. What does it say? Psalm 106, verse 24. It started talking about the children of Israel. They are a type of the president of the church. Is it that they despise this present land? May we not despise this present land in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Say, yea. They despise the world, the present land. They believe not his word. That is very important. Let's do together again. Yea. They despise what the present land. We know that land now, in New Testament context, is the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, where we inherit the glory and manifest the glory. So yea, they despise the present land, and they believe not his word. Next verse. But what? Murmured. Say murmured. It's not good to murmur in this day. In their tents. Your tent is your physical body. When you begin to complain in your heart. And hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Next verse. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Somewhere in Hebrews, it says that even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world, he said, but they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. That word unbelief there is disobedience. Will not be overthrown in the wilderness in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So how the question is, how did they despise the present land? Or how in this present day context do we decide to despise the present land? You see, on Sunday, Pastor was sharing a message, a very powerful message. I encourage you to go and listen to it again, where he talked about humility, instruction, and wickedness. And he said, when you don't obey instructions, it is tantamount to wickedness. And he gave the example of Saul. Praise the Lord. So you see, what does it mean? To despise the land, I follow me. If you look at the Old Testament shadow, talking about Moses, how did they despise the land? They despise the land by disobeying the instructions that God gave them through Moses. Are you with me? See, God gave them instructions to Moses. He wrote the Ten Commandments and he gave it to them. And he said, look, Moses, you go and talk to this God. Whatever he tells us to do, we'll do. God said, he said, I know them. He said, they will not obey me. So when he said they are stiff-necked people. So when Moses gave them instructions, they kept on breaking those instructions until they got to Kadesh Barnea, which is where we are now. We'll get to that later. So how did they despise the land? They despised the land by disobeying the instructions of God that God gave through Moses to them. Praise the Lord. So we will not despise instructions in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? Let's open the book of Proverbs chapter 4 with verses 1 and 13 that Pastor shared from on Sunday. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, verse 1. What are the same instructions? Why are we saying these things? Not because we are disobeying instructions, but to let us know so we can avoid these pitfalls. Why? Because we are in a kairos moment that God wants us to enjoy these present things. He wants them to come out. These treasures of knowledge and wisdom are embedded in Christ inside us. Say, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. It is fathers that give instruction. Because that is the how of a how. It's no more general. No more, okay, pray. No, they come and like a doctor, a consultant. They look at the problem you have. Say, okay, take so-and-so tablets daily. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night. Are you following me? So, he said, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Now, verse 13 is very important. Verse 13. He says that hold fast to instruction, for let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Say, instruction is my life. So which instruction is he talking about? It's not just general instruction. He mentioned it in verse 1. He said that we should hold fast to the instruction of our fathers. He said, why? He said, if you don't hold fast, we say, keep her, because she's alive. He said, if you don't, that means if you don't hold on to instruction, it can easily go. It can easily slip from your hands. It will not slip in Jesus' name. So that is the instruction we are talking about. The same book of Proverbs chapter 5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, and he that regretted to prove his prudent. Praise the Lord. And Pastor quoted from Psalm 15 in verses 16 to 17. What he's talking about, he said, what do you have to take my statutes? He says, seeing that you hate destruction and you cast my words behind you. That is prevalent in the body of Christ today. People cast instruction behind them. Especially the instruction we are talking about at this time is the instruction that will take us into the promised land of the perfection and fullness of Christ, that we may inherit the glory. That is the present land. That these present things may see, present surprises may come out of this earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. So I make it very simple. You see, in the Old Testament, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, an 11-day journey became a 40-year agony. Are you with me? Right now, we need to be very careful. I believe right now we are at the same threshold of entering the promised land. You see, and the same that happened in the wilderness, I follow me, it will not happen to us in Jesus' name. When I talk about us, I talk about the body of Christ. You see, Romans chapter 8 verse 13 describes this. He said that if you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Said that if you don't mortify deeds of flesh, let me read it. Say, for if you live after the flesh, you shall what? Die. But if you to the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Everyone that got there at that time did not mortify the deeds of the body. Their flesh governed them. They were asking to go back to Egypt. Like you said, they murmured, they complained, they committed adultery, they committed fornication. But what I want to see is this. The instruction not to do this thing was given to them by Moses. It wasn't the sacrifices that would do the job. It was the instructions that pastor taught us. You know, if we come up Deuteronomy, he said the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That is how we basically do the word of God. Are you with me? So this people, they perished in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not mortify the deeds of the flesh. So let me explain, or let us see what instructions did God give them in the Old Testament. It has not changed. It is the same thing. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Are we there? What does this say? Let's read together, please. And now, Israel. We can say now the church. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? Say, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? That is, what does he want? It's not the sacrifices. The master said, you know, sacrifices and this. I say, a body that has prepared for me. Say, now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But want to say, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's all. The same thing that God asked them to do in the Old Testament is the same that he's asking us to do, albeit with detailed instruction. It has not changed. The first thing you do is to fear the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The Bible said by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If they had feared the Lord, they would have departed from you in the wilderness. But they didn't fear God. And pastor, I thought, what is the fear of the Lord? Honesty and what?
Humility.
Say it again. Honesty and what?
Humility.
Honesty does what? It causes God to release the measure of the mercy of God to you. Humility gives you grace. Everything gives you life. You see, I made my mention recently. I saw that there are two things you learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. You learn what? Say, learn of me. What? Meekness and what? Lowliness of heart. And you find rest unto your souls. The second thing you learn is this. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when I offered our presence of King with strong kind and tears, unto him that was saved to him that, and he was hurt in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet what? Learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So that's the second thing you learn. And they are connected. When you learn meekness and lowliness of heart, that is honesty and which you get mercy and grace. The measure of the mercy and grace you receive is what you now take to go and pray to learn self-denial. Obedience. Are you with me? Why two things the master learned? Meekness and lowliness of heart, which determines the measure of the life of God that you get through mercy and grace. You now take that. Are you following me? Now go in the place of prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. He said, he learned obedience by the thing he suffered. What did he suffer? He didn't suffer sickness and disease. He suffered self-denial. But in the measure of mercy you receive and grace, which determines how much self-denial you can undergo in the place of prayer. Are you with me? So let's continue. So that the things we are doing, what does it mean? I already mentioned the fear of God speaks about honesty and humility of heart. We taught very well. And then he said to walk in his ways and to love him. That is putting on the old armor of God, perfecting the love of God. Are you with me? And the next thing he said that then the third thing is now that you may serve him. He's not talking again about physical service. Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, he says, I thank my God that I serve in my spirit, praying always for you. So let's read together. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. So we're not talking about physical service here. We're talking primarily about spiritual service in the place of prayer. Whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his son, that what? Without ceasing. Did he say occasionally? No. So that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. So are the things the same that I told them in the Old Testament? He said, you fear God. Say, fear God. Walk in his ways and love him. Perfect that love. Then after you have done that, you cannot take your life you receive to come and serve God in the place of prayer. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Are you with me? So that is what he told them in the Old Testament. And the same thing that the Lord is telling us. The pastor has been teaching us Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. He said this same thing. He said, yeah, O Israel, Lord thy God is one God. He said, I shall love Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And he said, you shall teach them to thy son when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, four times. It is the same commandment God has given us. It has not changed. So that in the New Testament, God gives us grace, which was not available to them at that time, for us to be able to labor. That's why Paul said, I labored more than they, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Praise the Lord. So why is this very important? It's important for, I have about four reasons here. In order for us to possess this pleasant land, the way we are going to possess it is by these things I've mentioned. The Bible says in Romans, it said it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be to all the seed. It is by faith, oh. It is not gra-gra. So anybody can enter the land. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. Pastor has taught us. The first thing I put here is the pastor has taught us. It says that to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. There's so much going on in the world at this time. I'm amazed. This coronavirus thing that is going on, you know, the second wave, God will deliver us. We won't allow it to come near our dwelling in Jesus' name. But you see, I'm amazed in the entire church, like somebody said, with all the so-called men of God that are prophesying this one will come into power, none of them can even come out on this day and rebuke this thing. And say, at my word, like Moses, when he spoke, and Bible says that the east wind came and removed all the locusts from the land, and there was not one single one left. The whole land of Egypt. You know why? The problem in the church is very simple. We have not focused on what God wants the fivefold ministry to focus on. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we read it all the time. He said, and he gave some. It's as if somebody told me, it's as if we think what he gave is titles. He said, and he gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And he says, why? For what? The perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of body. Are you following me? That we may all grow up into him in all things. You see, we have no problem we have. We are sending babies to go and fight a war. So what you take, just speaking the word, because of spiritual growth, we are taking years to pray about it. If you notice, you see, we have not concentrated on spiritual growth, which is the most important. That is the reason for the fivefold ministry. Till we all come. Till we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is clear. It's not to go around prophesying you go to the president of the United States of America, even though we can do that. That is just the icing on the cake. It is to grow up people. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12. Bible says that when they started back in the temple and the parents came and picked him. You know what the Bible said? He said he submitted to his parents. And the last sentence there before he appeared at Jordan was what? That the young child grew in wisdom and in stature, having favor with God and men. So for the next 18 years, he kept on growing. That is what the church ought to have done. That is what the Marys and the Josephs in the body of Christ should have done with the little Christ under them. But they have not. At 30, he appears at Jordan. And the heavens opened. He did not prophesy that Herod was going to be king. He had not prophesied anything. No. All we knew was that he appeared and the father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Meaning that the Lord Jesus Christ, the father, is not well pleased with the body of Christ. Why? Because we are lacking behind. Because leaders, Lord, have forgotten purpose. But thank God, I'm always grateful to God, not flattery at all, for the privilege to be here, to hear the things we hear every day. So we can grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we go to that state, the answers to prayers will not be like that. Praise the Lord. So I said to deliver Christians from bondage of corruption, to put an end to human suffering. People are suffering everywhere. The pastor said, the more we delay, the more people will suffer and die. The earlier we all say, we should hasten is coming in us. So we can stop this suffering, human suffering. All these things you see in our nation, like Boko Haram, you know, armed banditry and all these things. God is helping us. I follow, but we all need to grow. Praise the Lord. The other reason again that I have here, the pastor taught us, is to break rule and disciple the nations. Say, break rule and disciple the nations. Psalm 2 says that, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. But it takes the spirit that measure the fullness of our inheritance to inherit the nations. Are you with me? You see, the spirit we measure cannot inherit the nations. So we need that inheritance to inherit the heathen. Praise the Lord. And the other thing, the last thing is to give a befitting close to this age. We are, Pastor Lalu always says on Sunday, we are living a place of glory. Praise the Lord. Folks, buckle your seatbelts. No rapture is occurring until we manifest the glory of God. You can put that down. Praise the Lord. Everybody seems to be quiet. It's a fact. We can't go anywhere until we grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, manifest His glory, demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God, disciple the nations, get witnesses in every ethnos. When we have done that, then we can check out. We are not playing losers finals, though. We are winning. Praise the Lord. Now, the last reason I have here, which I believe is what God showed me, and I wanted to pay close attention to, is a very short message. We are in the day of salvation. Say it together. We are now in the day of what? God's salvation. 2021, this decade, is the day of God's salvation. The salvation I'm talking about is not getting born again. It's salvation of our spirit, soul, and body, like we see in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. But we don't have to turn there because of time. I spoke in Manuel. I said, we cannot afford under 40 years of wilderness experience. It's not possible. With the rate at which things are happening, we put it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in Amplified. These are perilous times. Men don't have any answer to what is going on. And the only people that God wants to give the answer to is the church. And yet we are still playing games. We are not playing games in church. Let's see, what does he say? But understand this. Let's see again. But understand this, that in the last days will come what? Set in. Say set in. Perilous times of great stress. Say stress. And trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. In Uriah, war. You see, but you see, God is very wise. That is why the body of Christ is going to be shaking. You shake for two reasons. Either to remove or to mix together. That's how you shake. You want to take your drug now. You say, shake before you take it. The Bible talks about Hebrews. I think Revelation. It said, the wind will come and will shake off untimely figs. So the way the shaking is coming is to shake away. Are you following me? Every spot, wrinkle, blemish, and any such thing. And to bring about the unity of the Spirit. That is the purpose of a shaking, no? Don't be afraid of a shaking. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That is the reason for the trouble. God wants that treasure in you and I to come out. You see, for you to know whether any orange is sweet or not, you have to squeeze it. Hard! So the more of the juice you want, the more you squeeze it. There's a scripture in Isaiah, I can't remember. It says, talked about the cluster of grapes. He said, don't destroy it now, for therein lies a blessing. Isaiah 66, if you can find it, put it on the board. He said, don't destroy it. Because inside that cluster of grace, there is a blessing. But for the glory to come, God has to shake. The pressure has to come on you and I. Haggai says, behold, yet once, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the dry land and the sea. And it says that the desire of the nations are come. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. But he said that in this house will I give peace. That is where we are going to what we are going through. That's where the trouble is. But brethren, the Bible says, Paul says something. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare the glory that will be revealed in us. He said, our light affliction. He said, it's very light. What has God called us to do, brethren? Wake up in the morning. Joy, good morning, Jesus. Pray at least 4 times a day. Wash feet. Do you want to compare that to Joshua and Caleb? They had to go and fight a physical battle. They saw the giants. This one, you wake up in the morning, take your confessions, and then when you do, the mercy will cover, covering everything. Say, I like that picture. Say, it's but for a moment. But what it for is a far eternal bit of glory. Praise the Lord. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, let's put the scripture behind it. As I take a close look at the nation of Israel, at that time that you are about to inherit the land. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Let me read the scripture. What does it say? For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. And in the day of what? Salvation I have succored thee. Behold, let's say, behold, Now is the accepted time. Say now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So let's look at the children of Israel. Are you following me? They too, they got to their own day of salvation. You see, they had walked, they complained. God tolerated them and they got to the edge of the promised land. The edge of the promised land is Kadesh Barnea. Say Kadesh Barnea. Say Kadesh Barnea. Hallelujah. Let's take a close look at Kadesh Barnea. Just summarize what happened there. Unfortunately, they did not go in. Not because God did not want them to go in, but because they disobeyed the instructions that God gave them through Moses. We keep on going back to that. Those same instructions have been given unto us today by the Father that God has set in the body of Christ. So we must not despise the land by disobeying the instructions of the fathers. Are you with me? So if you read your Bible, I was during this lockdown period, I took some extra time to read my Bible, to meditate. You know, normally I would read because I'll just keep by it. But when I sat down, I discovered that Numbers, from Numbers chapter 13 to Numbers number 20, talks about what happened in Kadesh Barnea. Very important. A lot of things happened in Kadesh Barnea. And I found out, you see, God is so wise. God had timed their entry into Kadesh Barnea to they are supposed to enter during the Feast of Tabernacles. They got to the Valley of Eshkol. He said they went there to go and spy the land for 40 days. He said they came back carrying two of them, carrying, you know, a branch of grapes. He said, and the time they arrived there was the time of the first ripe grapes. God already planned that thing for them to, it would have been a perfect type and shadow. If they had entered the land at that time, it was seen of first ripe grapes. The natural reserve that comes around October, September, during the Feast of Tabernacles. But they did not enter in 40 years later until the time of Joshua. And when they were going to enter in, they entered not at that time, but they entered during the Feast of Passover. Alright, so he told Joshua, he said, make these sharp knives. He said, circumcise the children of Israel the second time. I was saying, when they crossed out of Jordan, he said, they ate the Passover. And I began to wonder in myself, was that why the master was thinking that he was going to manifest his glory during the Feast of Passover? The first mother now came and said, whatever I tell you to do, to do. Because, you see, he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. I don't know when we get to heaven. No. What I'm saying is this, we're in that same time now. The same time of the first ripe grapes. And we should go up at once to possess the land. Now, some of the things that happened, a lot of things happened there. But what does Kadesh mean? Kadesh Barnea in the Bible means holy. Say holy. Holy. Is that word holy? Is that song we sing? To what you understand it? Kadosh, 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 holy. So we are on holy ground. It's a place, let me just summarize. It's a place where in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. It's a place that you cleanse yourself from secret faults. It's a place that you watch and pray always. That is where we are now. But we haven't been given the tools. Very simple. It's a place that we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, he said, perfecting. Say perfecting. That doesn't mean you are perfected yet. Perfect, you are there. You have a willing heart to do it. And you are practicing. God does not demand immediate perfection, but he demands immediate practice. It just man falls seven times and rise up. So what am I saying? So, because I will explain some things, I'll just run through that. Happened in Kadesh Barnea. But that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. It was only two of the old generation and the younger generation that entered. It was at Kadesh Barnea that God sent the 12 spies out to go and spy the land. 10 came back with an evil report. God judged them. It was at Kadesh Barnea, are you with me? That when they rebelled against Moses, what am I saying? It's not a day to rebel against spiritual authority. That said, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the ground swallowed them up. It was at Kadesh Barnea that they murmured and complained. And God was so angry that Moses had to, Aaron had to come and stand in the gap. And then God declared this one to sing Kadesh Barnea. He declared one thing, Kadesh Barnea. He declared his purpose for the church. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. Let us read. Why am I saying this? When Kadesh Barnea, you are looking at the promised land right before us. The land of pleasantness, of pleasant surprises, We have seen people bring back the first ripe grapes. So we need to go up at once. Let's see. It is, you see, Kadesh Barnea. I said Kadesh Barnea is from Numbers 13 to Numbers 20. See what I say. But as soon as I leave, the whole world, earth, shall be filled with the glory of God. That's the purpose of the church. That is where God declared his purpose. So what's at Kadesh Barnea that Aaron's word bothered? After they complained that the rebels and they misbehaved, God said, okay, go and bring the rods. He put them over and I know the story. And then Aaron's word, what for? The blood for blossoms, buds, blossoms, and almonds. One system when I was meditating, you know, but Aaron did not make his calling and election sure. It was at the same Kadesh Barnea that Moses and Aaron, they smote the rock. It was at Kadesh Barnea that Miriam died. It was at Kadesh Barnea that Aaron died. It was at Kadesh Barnea that God told Moses, you are not going over. Why am I saying this? I must say to make us afraid, but we must not take God for granted. Because the man, he has waited for so long for this thing. So I repeat again, it demands immediate practice, not immediate perfection. It's not everybody that entered the land was perfect. Even Achan entered. So you see, I follow him. But after a period of time, God is going to come and check. That by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. So you see, in Kadesh Barnea, everybody, God went through everybody, from leadership to saint. Everybody. You know why? If the promised land is perfection and fullness of Christ, and we're supposed to inherit the glory, you cannot inherit that glory and follow him with attitudes that can destroy God's purpose. Somewhere in Exodus, if I find it, I think I wrote it down. He said that this anointing, speaking about this spirit, that measure, Exodus chapter 30, verse 32, he said you must not put it on flesh. Let me narrate an example to explain to you. I'll give an example of what happened to me recently, last year. At the time I was somewhere, and as I was walking to go and pray, you know, God spoke to me, said, pray to overcome your sacred faults. Now, they are strictly false, not because I don't know them, but because you may not know. Are you following me? So, I went to go and pray. So, while I was going, I heard some people fighting and arguing and shouting to themselves. So, I wanted to go. So, God said, he that meddled in strife not belonging to him is that one that holds the dog by the ears. So, I went to go and pray. God had mercy on me. After I finished praying, I came out. Then, I happened to see those that were arguing among themselves. I said, please, can you drop me so and so after praying for to know my secret faults? So, you know, not that we don't know them, but we don't take them serious. So the person said, this is what happened. I said, yay! Yay, God, me or the simple. Kill I say, hey, for it, yeah. Yay! And then wo, yay, oh do me on bafoti and molody, yay. I was shouting and screaming in the car. After some, the man whispered to me, said, that is the secret fault. He said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And he told me, said, that is why I have kept you many times from this thing. But you see, you are going to face your Esau one day. You are going to face it too. I follow me. David had a problem with women. God kept covering. You see, that's what covering does. It covers you, giving you room to deal with those things. You see, because that anointing must not be on flesh. It must not be on flesh. That's why it caused Moses anger. If you read the Deuteronomy chapter 3, he was begging God. He said, God, you have been good to me. You have been this to me. Okay, he said, but please. He said, but let me go to the land. God said, Moses, no, don't talk about it again. He said, don't talk about it again. Don't even go there. What am I saying? Am I saying to make us afraid? No. But not to take God for granted. Or shall we receive the grace of God? Or shall we continue in sin and receive God's grace? God forbid. But I believe better things of us because we are all practicing. Have I not gotten angry? I have, of course. But you see, now I'm watching and praying always. When I see anger rise up, I say, Lord, have mercy. Are you with me? So the place we are diligent in watching and praying always. Praise the Lord. So that is Kadesh Barnea for you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So it is a place with perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, I put it here. It is not what God wants to do for us. Pastor shared it. He said that in this season, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So see, God wants to heal us of those infirmities. So as we can receive, firstly, a borrowed anointing before we now inherit it. That's why you have to be under covering. Covering is not somebody's imagination. It's not something that pastor dreamt of. I keep giving this example because I studied agriculture. There's something you call a glass house or a greenhouse. When you want to plant cocoa now, you plant the seedlings in the greenhouse and then you begin to water it. Why? Because if you go and plant it directly in the field, the sun will scorch it or something will destroy it. So you keep it in the greenhouse and they begin to nurture it. When it goes to a starting stage, they will now remove it and go and plant it outside where they know it can survive. That's covering. It's that simple. Say the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. If you take the cocoa seedlings or whatever you want to go and plant, and go and plant it directly in the field, the birds of the air will take it immediately. So we keep it inside the greenhouse, inside the glass house for some time, and begin to water it. But what I want you to see is that you are not going to turn the greenhouse forever. They are going to be moved out one day. Just like another example is this. When you have children at home, when they have exams, you can revise with them. You can study with them. You can teach them. But when they get to examination hall, you are not going to follow them. Everybody will have his own day of examination. Like the master had at Gethsemane. He said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? The father didn't answer. So there is going to be a day that you are going to be allowed to go to examination hall. But see, God wants you to pass. That's why you have given us teachers, pastors that will give us knowledge and understanding. They've already told us what we need to pass the coming exam. Praise the Lord. So let's see. So, as I read Exodus chapter 30, verse 30, 32. I think I mentioned it. It says that this anointing will not be on flesh. Flesh there is not that. The same Bible says that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. No, the flesh we are talking about is a carnal mind. The carnal mind is anything with God because it cannot please God. Not that you have removed the signature totally, but you've learned to keep your body under. Say, upon man's flesh shall not it be poured. Talking about the anointing that he poured on Aaron's head. Praise the Lord. So, how are we going to inherit this glory? How are we going to enjoy these present things that has been spoken about? How are we going to break through the veil of the flesh? It's very simple. The book of Isaiah says something. It says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, there said God, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Say willingness and obedience. When they're able to eat the good of the land, the present things, the present surprises. He didn't say if you are perfect. You must be willing and you must be obedient. Obedience there speaks about the practice of these principles you have been taught. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit to rid yourself of a sin nature in the soul and in the body. Say if you do that, if you are practicing it, say practicing it. Practicing it. So if you wake up in the morning, you go in good morning, Jesus, you are practicing. So you definitely ignore. You see, the issue now is this. If you now increase in your diligence, you will now enjoy more of these present things. If you are more diligent in the practice of these things, they begin to enjoy more of these present things. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Verse 20. The other side is this. But I will not be apostate. He said, but if you refuse and you rebel, what will happen? You shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. But we will not refuse in Jesus' name. We are going to be willing and going to be obedient. So I'm going to focus on those two to try to explain how we're going to say willingness and obedience. Willingness is an act of your will, like Pastor has taught us. And a willing person is a humble person. Because you humble yourself as a choice of your will. Let's look at it critically. Praise the Lord. Let me read Job chapter 36, verse 11, before I begin to explain. Job 36, 11, Amplified Bible. It says the same thing about this pleasant thing that wants us to read in Amplified. Job chapter 36, verse 11. We quote it, it says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. That's how it says it in the book of in Amplified. Praise the Lord. So how? Let's look at this willingness aspect. You see, like the willingness is what opens the door to revelation knowledge. You see, you can be, man, I've seen people pray the same Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Give spirit of wisdom, revelation, and yet no revelation. Why? Because they are not willing. John chapter 7 verse 17, Amplify. Let me explain what I mean. You see, you must be willing to eat the good of the land before you can now, when you now pray the spirit for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, they cannot begin to see. John chapter 7, verse 17, Amplified. What does it say? If any man desires to do his will, God's what? Pleasure. He will know. So a desire to will must be there. And have what? The needed what? Say illumination. To recognize. Say to recognize. And can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking for myself and of my own accord and of my own authority. How do I know that what Pastor and Mommy have come to share is the accurate word of God? Because I'm willing. So that willingness, I went to pray, and they're going to give me light concerning what I'm sharing. So it is no longer second-hand information. It is now first-hand to me. So I can run with it. The Bible says, right division, make it plain. So he that readeth me, run with it. But if you are not willing in your heart, and say, oh, they have come again. This thing, he will say, it will happen, it has not happened. Then you won't see. That will not be a portion of Jesus. So with that attitude of willingness, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. You can now go and pray the Ephesians prayer. The pastor talked about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and presence of knowledge. So the eyes of understanding be flooded with light. It is your will that acts as a trap door that opens the door to the light of God. And I begin to see the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. That's how we get it. Then the second aspect is obedience. Say obedience. We are talking about willingness and obedience so we can eat the good of the land. The obedience we are talking about again is the obedience to instructions that will lead us to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 20. When you pray with a willing heart, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 downwards, that one gives you the revelation of the pathway to attain unto the fullness of Christ. That prayer that we told to pray. Grant unto me, according to reaching glory, to be strengthened by my spirit and myself, Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. I've come with and granted in love. I will comprehend without saying what is the better length, the depth, and the height of the body of Christ. I know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Being filled with the fullness of God. That's Ephesians chapter 3. So it is the willingness first that opens the door to the spirit of wisdom and revelation that now shows you the pathway by which you can attain on this fullness of Christ. Are you with me? So that's what God wants us to do. Are you following me? And then with that, the pathway now, you now begin to deny yourself like you've been taught. I mentioned, I say, Lord Jesus, I say, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I know he didn't suffer sickness or disease. So what did he suffer? He suffered persecution, but primarily what he suffered is daily self-denial. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, say, wake up a great while before dawn and go to sleep and pray. And like Pastor said, the more self-denial you suffer, the less affliction it begins to reduce. So, Bible says, many are the affliction of righteous, but don't deliver from them all. But as you begin to increase your self-denial, I follow me, you find out that the level of affliction begins to reduce. Then you now get to that place, that person said, this is our light affliction. It's before a moment. So you can count it all joy when you fall into that verse. You know, in the trial of a faith worker patient, let patience have a perfect code and perfect entire, wanting nothing. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Praise the Lord. So we now begin to practice these things. What are these things they are supposed to practice, brethren? We taught over and over and over again. In summary, these things are the seven pillars of wisdom. Using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness or to perfect love of God. Simply put, you wake up in the morning, you put on the old armor of God, which is the armor of love. When you put on that old armor of love, it is with that I can now go to pray, your battle prayer, and the other things we've been taught. And thank God for the good morning Jesus that God has raised up. It's an avenue for us to practice this thing. So if you are finding it difficult, I find to wake up early in the morning. At least when you join, you know, the crowd effect, you are there. Hey, if you fall asleep, don't worry. Get up again and keep joining. After some time, you find out that, you know, by the time they say, unmute yourself, has it happened before? You find that unmute yourself has been on your phone for a long time. Hasn't happened to you before? Then you must say, unmute yourself. By the time they say, unmute yourself, they will have muted people again. So you are trying to unmute. Meanwhile, they muted everybody. But God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. So, and then the second thing, which is very important, which I want you to know, is this unity. Say unity. Unity of the Spirit. Which we do, and we, Bible says, endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we attain unto that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, speaking the same thing, there are no divisions among us. Like Pastor said, we are praying the same. We are praying the Bible now. You're not praying what you imagine. You are praying Ephesians 1. You are praying Ephesians 3. You are praying Colossians. These are the things. You are praying the word of God. You're not trying to imagine what to pray. Are you with me? So we're speaking the same things. I will close with this Psalm. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. It says, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together. We are talking about this land of pleasantness. a unity. He said, like the ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, down Aaron's beard to his garments. He said, for that Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Those are the key things I want us to go with today. Number one, say willingness. Willingness is a function of your will. Our wills to become more humble. That willingness is the trap door that opens your will. The pastor shows us that diagram. So when I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, light can come. So the more willing you are, the more light enters into your mind. And then with that, it now shows you the pathway to inherit the glory, which is found in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, be rooted and grounded in love, that may be filled with all the fullness of God. So I believe as you practice these things, or we are more diligent with them in this year, as it has been said, we witness the manifestation of a life for God in our mortal flesh. Begin to see all the things that we're talking about. Instant healings, instant miracles, turning water to wine, all those things. Begin to see them being made manifest. Or like Bambi put it, you know, begin to express a season of pleasantness and of what? Pleasant what? Surprises. Praise the Lord. Please, let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk.